So welcome everybody. This is the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices or SharePoint Patterns and Practices Community Call in August 2016. And these are relatively typical calls. There's always a new person joining into the calls. So quickly, we will always walk through slightly what is the PNP all about, where you can find the resources, where we're heading. And then we concentrate on the contributions and other topics within this month. We're going to slightly talk about the future of the SharePoint. There will be some changes within the PNP side as well, or in the contribution side, especially in the GitHub, whenever we get the SharePoint framework out, which is quite soon, but we need to still wait for a while. My name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager in SharePoint engineering. And me and a few others within this call are representing the PNP core team, the people who are actually helping within the GitHub and coordinating what are we actually doing within the PNP initiative, on top of all of the contributions what the community is doing. So once again, there was a lot of people who actually helped us during the summertime. We had a two-month period when we didn't have a master merge on July. So between June and July, we were slightly more silent within the PNP initiative. And that's also because a lot of the team members were on vacation and we needed to prioritize our family time during the summer vacation period. But anyway, let's get actually ongoing. We will have, like mentioned, monthly highlights, contributions and other topics, and then demos. We will have three demos today. Last time we kind of failed with the demo with Ruddy. So let's make sure that Ruddy can actually show what is the how to use the authentication authorization layer for ASP.NET Core. So we'll get that one recorded. It's something what probably not that many people are actually using right now, but it's something what's growing all the time because the ASP.NET, the latest version, is the ASP.NET Core. Then Paolo is going to actually start the demos. Paolo is going to show the latest version or latest improvements in the PNP provisioning engine, and we're going to touch that in multiple sections within the presentation. And then Patrick is going to update us on the latest what's happening on the JavaScript core side. So showing demos on the JavaScript development, which is aligning already to the SharePoint framework development practices, even though the SharePoint framework isn't officially yet out. So let's get actually ongoing. First of all, the typical slides, the SharePoint PNP or Office Dev PNP. We provide code samples, guidance documentation in MSDN, monthly community calls, which is this one. Case studies, we'll have a case study with Blue Meteor, who is one of the ISVs who did the transformation to the adding models and cloud models quite early, and then also with Volvo Cars. We've been now more and more concentrating on a SharePoint framework, and I do know that it's slightly frustrating that you can't get your hands on it yet, but it's coming really, really, really soon. So just wait for it, and you get a preview, as previews are going to start quite soon. There's a lot of stuff in the SharePoint adding model, Microsoft Graph, and Office 365 development in general. So this is all about SharePoint development, but also we touch the Microsoft Graph and Office 365 development practices. This is just a reference for all of the individual resources what we are having. So you can do AKMS Office Dev PNP, which is the old address, which we will absolutely keep on up to date as well. Or AKMS SharePoint PNP is the kind of a new branding within the initiative as well. So due to the SharePoint framework, we're more and more concentrating on SharePoint site. So we're kind of launching the SharePoint PNP concept at the same time. And the PNP is owned by the SharePoint engineering. I'm actually sitting in the team who's responsible of all of the APIs within a SharePoint, and we coordinate what we actually want to share through the PNP as well. So as an example in the future, I'm already rambling for the rest of the presentation or stuff which is going to cover in the rest of the presentation. In the future, we will not have separate guidance from PNP and samples from PNP and then whatever MSDN general guidance and samples. We'll only have samples which are PNP samples because we don't want to differentiate PNP. PNP is part of the SharePoint engineering and everything what we provide is approved. Is approved and signed off by SharePoint engineering. Radis making a good comment, BMP taking over, pretty much indeed. Our model seems to work. Anyway, channel 9, MSDN, Yammer, we're going to talk about some of these changes during this presentation. We have a monthly community call, we have bi-weekly office hours, we have a lot of repos, we know that might be highly confusing, there's a lot of material out there, but I'm going to show you how to find the relevant material within the following slides as well. Docs.com, all of these presentations, including this one, is already available for download from the docs.com/office-dev-bnp. So you can download the presentation, you can use the assets, pictures, slides, any way you want, wherever you want. And the BMP Partner Pack is one of our showcase applications. Now, moving on things. So how to find BMP samples for guidance. For those who've seen this already, yeah, I've always, every single month, I explain this. But if you go to the dev.office.com and the BMP pages, and there's a sample/guidance link, and you will land into the patterns and practices resources. And in here, you can use search, free text search, or you can filter down based on the type of the or functionality what you're looking for. So if you're looking for something like user profile APIs or practices for branding assets or whatever, you'll just use that as a keyword and you'll find the relevant guidance and samples from the PNP. So you don't actually have to go to the GitHub and start wondering, what is all of this stuff within the GitHub? This is much better, better tool for you to find what's relevant for you. BMP webcasts. Within the last month, we did have a break in the BMP webcasts during July, but after the before or after the previous monthly call, we released a few additional webcasts still. The 6th of June was actually released just before the last monthly call, and that was introduction for Microsoft Graph .NET SDK. It's a great webcast together with Paolo Pialorossi showing the power of Microsoft Graph SDK and how does it actually work within a .NET platform. Then we actually did a introduction to SharePoint webhooks. That's something which is coming up quite soon as well, a webcast together with Bert Janssen. And the sample what we used within that webcast will be shared quite soon as well. There's an incoming thread in my inbox which where we are actually just planning when this stuff goes live. The converting existing JavaScript application to SharePoint framework was me and Waldeck, Waldeck Mastercard, and that's explaining already kind of a preview how the SharePoint framework can be used to host your existing JavaScript applications. And then the last one, which we released yesterday, is the integrating Angular 1.x to SharePoint framework client-side web part, which shows how do you actually start using these JavaScript frameworks within the SharePoint framework. So if you have time, now even now before the SharePoint framework is released, you can have a look on these videos and get some sort of understanding what's actually happening, what are the direction where we're heading and how things are changing. And then you can go, for example, to Yammer or to the network.office.com to ask about those webcasts. So wait a minute, does it mean blah, blah, blah? And we'll help on those questions because that's what we want to do. One of the things around the BMP webcasts and videos, we will be moving these webcasts to YouTube relatively soon. So we are already working together with our marketing on the exact plan on doing that. The Channel 9 doesn't really scale on the amount of videos we're producing, and it's actually pretty difficult to find the relevant videos for you because, no offense for Channel 9, it's not quite up to date on how people use people want to consume videos. Month-over-month statistics, not necessarily super interesting stuff if you're just a developer, but obviously for us in the BNP, we're tracking a lot of these statistics all the time. So we want to make sure that our stuff, what we release, is relevant and our numbers are growing. And this is just showing the visitors and Yammer group growth, which is the Yammer group growth is quite stable. And the visitors is for the past 2 weeks. And there's a small tip down in the August, which is quite common. We can actually see that last August as well. And then there's a tip in January. And both of them are something which is kind of as expected because there's a vacation time and a holiday season in those months or the previous month. And that's why the numbers go slightly down. This is our statistics around GitHub pull requests and forks. Some things are growing steady, which is a good thing. People are contributing, and we want to actually give you the opportunity to contribute, or we want your contributions to the BNB. This time within the release, and we know that there was quite a few pull requests, unfortunately, which we didn't have a time to fully process. And we are targeting to get the pull request counts down again for the September release. There's really valuable stuff in the queue, but we simply ran out of time due to holiday and vacation time. I couldn't justify my working hours to my wife, so needed to actually take some break as well. And this is just the new statistics, just to show you the same thing what I mentioned actually on the first graph. There's always a tip within January and August, and like in within this August, the tip does down slightly on the unique visitors. This is the growth numbers comparing to the previous month. And then there's a MSD and unique visitors, which is a cumulative counter, which is growing quite nicely as well. We are working on additional material for MSDN, even for this week to go live. So I'm going to explain what's coming up quite soon in the presentation. Something what we started also in April was that we're tracking the BNB CSAM core component usage, actually also the JavaScript core component usage. And within July, we know that there was more than 2,100 tenants where the BNB CSAM core component was used. I think we explained how we're tracking that back in the April, or was it in May, monthly community call. But essentially, just quickly explaining that we're using a client tag property within the client context, and we're assigning there which method and which version was actually used. That actually translates to the HTTP headers, and then because the BNB is owned by the SharePoint engineering, we have access on the server-side logs, so we're able to actually see how many within how many unique tenants the core component is used. And then this is kind of an interesting statistic as well. The BNB core component NuGet downloads is growing fast. We're above that's actually in June. The August went above 40,000. So unfortunately, I didn't update that graph properly. But anyway, we are above 40,000 in the NuGet download. So if you're wondering, is it safe to use the BNB CSAM core component? The answer is absolutely. It's used by a lot of other people as well. And we are highly committed on helping you to use that. And if there's any bugs, we want to fix them as well. Quick notification on things. So the BNP Yammer group, we kind of talk about the future of Yammer in a second, aka MS Office Dev BNP Yammer, good place for questions for now, not in the future. Special interest groups, we've started the client-side development. Patrick is going to kind of mention that today. Bi-weekly office hours, aka MS Office Dev BNP office hours. If you have any questions around the BNP, any suggestions, or you want to stay up to date on what are we actually working on, the BNP office hours is the right place to be. Within monthly community calls, we want to do a quick intro on what has happened and then do demos. The office hours is more for open discussion, and if you have questions around your deployment or usage of something in BNP, we can help with that. And then to the monthly community calls. AKMS addresses for bi-weekly office hours and monthly community calls are pointing to an ISC file, which is a recurrent invite for you until the June 2017. Good. Let's move on to August 2016. What has actually happened? We have a few new samples. These are mainly coming actually from Paolo. Paolo Pialorosi is writing a book around Office 365 development, and these samples are actually within that book and shared through that book as well. The book is for Microsoft Microsoft Learning. I can't remember the book name, but these samples actually are coming through Paolo's contributions. But there's the REST API sample, which is relatively simple. And now Paolo is doing advertisement and the I window. Good. There's the sample of the .NET Craft.NET SDK usage. There's the Outlook consume Craft API from an Outlook client. Then there's quite a few updated samples where there has been additional capabilities available, additional things what the samples are showing. So we're pinpointing them and linking them also within our release notes, which went live in the dev.office.com/blogs earlier today. Or you can download the presentation and click on those links, and you'll get access on the updated material. updated Visual Studio tooling, which is a nice tooling support for Visual Studio 2015, which will actually give you some PNP packaging tooling extensions within Visual Studio. And then the final topic there is the sandbox solution inventory script, which we're going to talk about slightly later, with the, still on the presentation. On the core and engine updates, we had quite a lot of updates in the core component. So there's a lot of improvements on the core component side, mainly on the BMP provisioning engine side. So the BMP provisioning engine is inside of the CSM core component, and that has now evolved to fully implement the latest provisioning schema. So we do support now navigation settings, structural navigation or management data navigations, force checkout for a list, break role inheritance for subsite, contribution managers for term groups, base site template support, support for user custom actions in the list level, and also for reuse, support for reused and deprecated terms. So we're trying to get all of the stuff what we had in the schema definition for the remote provisioning schema implemented in the engine. And that's now already merged, obviously, and that's already updated in the latest version of the NuGet packages. There's quite a lot of other additional support in the PNP provisioning engine side, also in the CSM side. There's also quite a lot of changes in the PowerShell side, the BMP PowerShell, which is extremely popular. So it seems to be that a lot of IT pros, or actually even developers, are using the BMP PowerShell as the easiest way to manipulate their sites without writing code, because you can just write a PowerShell which will access the sites and do modifications or apply branding or whatever is needed. And there's a lot of improvements on that side as well. Core.js has moved to version 1.03. This includes, for example, support for patching and caching. And Patrick is going to show that one in practice slightly later today within this call. In the PMP partner pack side, we're still kind of pending. Unfortunately, Paolo is leading that effort right now, and he's been on vacation, and we need to prioritize his time with the family. But by the September release, we're targeting to release a PMP partner pack v2.0. Together with something which is really cool. So there will be a public template gallery. So you're able to actually publish your remote templates to this public gallery where other people can consume and rate those templates and all of that. It's almost like the we shouldn't say this out loud because it has a bad name, but the thinking is almost like the Fabulous 40 templates, but using the right future-proof models, so using the remote provisioning template structure. Good. What else? Sandbox solution transformation resources, just to mention this one as well. And I need to start rushing again because we need to give enough time for the demos. We did release a few kind of a specific sandbox solution guidance articles or tools within the PNP side. So there's a PNP, within the PNP MSDN, there's a sandbox solution transformation guidance page. It's not a super long, it's relatively long, but we're extending that even during this week. So we're adding new articles underneath that one, which will help to understand where can I transition from my existing sandbox solutions. Now that the code behind sandbox solutions will be removed, or the support for them will be removed within a SharePoint Online. The second one is a PMP tools script, which you can use to analyze or get an inventory of any sandbox solutions within your existing within your tenant. So you will understand, okay, these site collections have a sandbox solution, and which of them contains an assembly. Now, one of our friends from Rencore, and there's quite a few of them in a call as well, they actually released a additional tool called Rencore SharePoint Sandbox Solution Inspector. And this is a free tool for you to use as well. It's kind of the idea came from the script which we released in the PNP last week, and they started working on this additional tool. And the tool itself will help, for example, to automatically convert any sandbox solutions which contains an empty assembly as a clean, up-to-date sandbox solution. So it's able to automatically fix some set of your sandbox solutions within a tenant if needed. It has also additional guidance and capabilities and it's a free tool. So you probably want to check that out if you're helping any of your customers or if you need to figure out what to do with sandbox solutions within your Office 365 tenant. Cool. And what I was planning to do around the sandbox solution is that because we have a bi-weekly office hours tomorrow, if you have any specific questions around the sandbox solution transformation or the you have questions around what does it actually mean and what do I need to do, let's talk about that one more detail tomorrow where we have more time for the open discussions. Good. These are all the people who, from a community side who contributed within this release, so within the past 2 months. And there's quite a lot of familiar faces there, and there's quite a few actually new names as well. So these are the people who contributed either in the MSDN or with MSDN contributions, because in the PNP MSDN you can actually modify and submit changes in a GitHub, or they provided some additional code changes or samples within the PNP repositories. Not going to mention all of these names, all of the people by name, because that would take too long. But thank you very much for your help. From all of those people, we have got a clearance to use, or they've asked us to use their logo as well. So these are those people from the previous list. Some of them work for these companies who essentially accepted that their employees are working with the open source and community-based initiatives, and they contributed to the PNP. So absolutely highly thankful, and we absolutely appreciate the assistance with this initiative. On the Microsoft side, we have a typical set of Microsoft people. Typical set of Microsoft people who have been contributing in the past as well. And then I'm explicitly calling out Karine, Cohen, and Mike Morrison. Karine Bosch, Cohen Somers, and Mike Morrison, who are not, let's say, the typical group of people, because they're not actually spending their time. Well, they contribute outside of their business hours with their contributions, like many of the other Microsoft people as well, but these are the new people who haven't been that active in the past. One thing what I wanted to quickly still touch before we start the demos, Yammer changes. So during summertime, there was an announcement in the Office 365 technical network that the Yammer groups, Yammer network will be shut down. Personally, I don't quite like this decision. There's multiple reasons why personally I'm not quite fond of this decision. But the target is to move the discussions to network.office.com. So if you go to the HTTP network.office.com, there's a new community portal where you're going to register. And one of the benefits out of that portal is that it's you can access and read you can read all of the discussions anonymously as well. So you don't have to register like you were forced to do with Yammer. And right now in the network.office.com, there's no PMP groups or even a one PMP group, which is a pity. But I would, if you would like to have a PMP group there, please just start a discussion in the network.office.com and ask for that kind of a group. So your community opinions do count, and they do matter when we're designing where we want to go within the community site, also from a platform perspective. If you create a discussion, for example, inside of the SharePoint developer, there's a PNP tag, which you can use to tag all of the PNP-related questions and discussions. Good. Something what I wanted to kind of quickly preview, this is related on the PNP Partner Pack, and I kind of mentioned this one already, the PNP Partner Pack 2.0 changes. We are planning to release this PNP Template Gallery. This will be a open and anonymously accessible, and you're able to then download contributions from the community, which are actual templates. So these are then remote provisioning templates, which can be used with the PNP provisioning engine. And this is planned to go live later this month, and we're looking into creating some templates and initial set of templates what people can use and download for their own preference. It's pretty nice idea. It's almost like the Fabulous 40 thinking, but we want to make it open source. And it's actually filtering down the categories and the templates directly from GitHub. And we'll come up with a proper communications how it works whenever we get everything polished and a few of the sample templates available. And final thing before we go to the demos. So what's in the queue? Obviously SharePoint framework, big thing within. Maybe I should actually within this month. That's probably safe to say, because we promised to deliver the SharePoint framework during summer, and September is not anymore summer. September is on autumn, at least in this side of the earth. So the SharePoint framework initial preview release will be available for first release tenants quite soon, and we're looking into having a new repository structure which will support the SharePoint framework functionality. So there will be an own new SharePoint organization which already exists in a GitHub. And then we're looking into having a specific sample repositories for the SharePoint framework specific samples. So you don't have to pull down all of the stuff around Office 365 development. You can target around specific areas within the development segment. So there will be a SharePoint framework samples. You can actually pull it down. And there will be a few other repository samples as well. On the provisioning engine side, we implemented the latest schema changes already there. We're now looking into quality improvements. We don't know exactly what would be missing, so your feedback is more than welcome. Core component general improvements, nothing in the queue that much. PowerShell, the same thing here. Something might be missing, more than welcome. We more than welcome additional commandlets, but it's more around general improvements. Sample solutions, clearly SharePoint framework and webhook demos will be available. Maybe Microsoft Graph and Office 365 API stuff in the future as well. And the PMP partner pack is planned to get ready by the September release. But that's it, and I spent almost 30 minutes, and I do apologize for the demo presenters. I'm always doing this. So let's get back on actually on the demos. First one will be Paolo, then we move into Ruddy, and then to Patrick, and hopefully we can keep these in 10-minute segments, and I do know, guys, that it will be difficult, but Paolo, can you start sharing? And let's have a look on the PMP provisioning engine.
Yes, thank you, Visa. I'm going to share my screen right now. And hopefully the god of bandwidth will be with us, because as you said, I'm on the seaside for summer vacation, so I don't have very good bandwidth, but I will try to do my best. So, as you said, we released the latest release of the provisioning schema, the 2016-05, in which we have some really nice improvements related, for example, to the capability to handle the navigation settings, to handle the search settings for web and site collections. We have the capability to support the upload of an entire directory of files into a document library using the provisioning engine, and many other new capabilities. So I'm starting showing you the homepage, the provisioning schema repository, just to show you that right now the current implemented version of the engine is the latest one, and we will see just a few demos of all of the new capabilities that we introduced. So first of all, I would like to start showing you the capability to support the navigation settings, which is a very often requested new capability. So I will extract a template from a site that I already created, which is this one, in which I have enabled the publishing features of SharePoint, and in which I have the current navigation with some custom navigation nodes in the structural navigation here. So if we go to the site settings here, we can see in the navigation settings that this site is using the structural navigation both for global and current navigation, but we do support managed navigation as well, and more in general, we support all of the available options for navigation settings with the provisioning engine. And inside the structure navigation for the current navigation, I have a custom folder with three external links. So if I use the provisioning engine, for example, from PowerShell, I can simply extract the template just using the navigation handler to speed up my demo. I will connect to this navigation source site, and I will extract an XML file with all of the navigation settings in it. It should take just a few seconds. Okay, should be almost done. And let me open the folder in which I stored the XML file, just to show you what is the output. In the XML file, as you can see, we have a PMP navigation section in which we have the global navigation settings as well as the current navigation settings, in which for the structure navigation, we have a hierarchy of navigation nodes which will represent the navigation settings of the source site. For example, when we provision the navigation settings, we can also define if we want to remove any already existing navigation node from the target site so that we can clean and apply the fresh new navigation settings from the source site or from the source template we have. And I will do that right now. So I will set to true this attribute, which is by default set to false. So it is up to you to make this choice. And I will also remove, for example, the page not found link, which usually is an hidden item in the navigation settings, and which will be pretty soon removed by the engine as well. So let me save this template and let me apply it to another site, which is fresh new. I've just created this site using PowerShell, and it doesn't have any item, any custom item in the current navigation settings. So again, I will apply this template to the target site simply using the navigation handler to speed up the process. It will take just a few seconds, at least hopefully, and as soon as it will be ready, we will see that in the target site, we will have the current navigation exactly configured as like as the source one. Okay, let me go back here and let me refresh this site. And as you can see, we have the current navigation already defined. Just some information. Whenever you set up a custom navigation in the source site, and for example, you target any custom page or any custom content that you have in the source site, you should keep in mind that when you apply the navigation settings onto the target site, you will have to have the same pages onto the target site as well. And as you probably know, we do not export any content using the provisioning engine. We simply export settings, metadata, and all the artifacts. So in case you want to move an entire publishing site, for example, from staging to production, you will need to have a custom handler which will extract all of the custom content and pages from the source site, and which will apply all of these contents onto the target before moving the navigation settings. Otherwise, if you will try to create a navigation node which targets a page or a content that does not exist in the target site, of course, the creation of the navigation node will fail. As I said, we don't want to support content extraction, so if you want to do that, it is up to you to create a custom extension in order to achieve this result. Another really interesting capability that we introduced in the engine is the capability to do bulk load or bulk upload of directories. So let me show you what I mean. Let me move to another folder, and let me show you the content of the folder. Here we have a directory sample XML file, which is available on the GitHub repository that we have for the PMP provisioning schema. Let me show you what is inside of this file. Well, we have an XML file, of course, with a list, which is a library called bulk loaded. And we also have a files section, which is the well-known one, through which right now we were just able to upload files one by one, a single file one by one. Now we can also say that we want to upload a directory we can provide the source path of the directory, which will be a relative path to the current folder in which we are executing the provision and template application. We can define which will be the target, which will be, in my case, the library I'm just going to create using this template. I want to overwrite any already existing file. I want to do that with a recursive approach. So I will upload all of the files in the directory bulk load sample folder and in any subfolder of this source folder with some inclusion and exclusions rules, and eventually, and that is the case, with a metadata mapping file to which I can configure any metadata field for the files that will be uploaded into the target library, into the target document library in SharePoint. Just to show you how is made the metadata file. It is a JSON file, which is not that friendly in Notepad, but if I move to any of the online JSON viewers we have on the network, I can show you that this file is basically made of a dictionary of items where the key is the relative URL of any of the files that I want to upload into my target folder. And for each and every file, I will have another dictionary with a couple of field name, field value, that will allow me to upload all of the metadata together with the file. So in my source folder, in fact, I have five words .txt file, which will be excluded by the inclusion or exclusion rules. Five more PDF files, which are in the folder of the folder I'm using to upload the target library. So let me go back to PowerShell. And again, I'm in the right folder. Let me connect to another site, which will be this time this guy, which is fresh new, created from a team site template. It doesn't have any, as I will execute my apply provisioning template cmdlet, I will have the library created into the target site, as well as all of the files with the target file. So it will take a while to create the library, and usually a little bit more to do the upload of all of the five Word files and of the five PDF files together with their metadata. But pretty soon we will see the result in the website. Come on. If there is any question in the chat area in the meantime, I can double check. Okay. No questions, just people complaining about my bandwidth. I'm sorry about that. So it is uploading all of the files, so we can already move to the target site and see what is happening. Here I have my new bulk loaded document library. And here you can see that I have all of my files which are going to be uploaded with their metadata fields. And so the provisioning engine is creating the entire structure onto the target site. This capability is really useful whenever you want, for example, to upload resources, images, CSS file or JavaScript files, and you want to create a kind of a project which will be provisioned using the provisioning engine, not only provisioning the artifact, but also all of the content and settings items that you need to make your solutions fully functional onto the target environment. Let me refresh one more time to show you that the subfolder has just been created with the PDF files in it and with all of the metadata set up for all of the uploaded files. So another very interesting capability that I want to just tell you, but I will not show you any real demo, is the capability to extend the provisioning engine and the provider model that supports the provisioning engine in order to being able to involve any custom logic whenever you load or save a provisioning template through a provider. For example, if you load a provisioning template, which can be an XML file, you can have a custom handler, which will allow you to do stuff like XML encryption, XML signature, or what you need before saving the XML file onto the target repository, or before loading the provisioning template from the persistence repository into the memory of your system. So basically, you will be able to change and to manage the content from a string perspective, the content of the provisioning template, just before storing the template onto the target repository, or just before loading into memory the template. This is really powerful whenever you have to do custom extensibility of the provisioning engine in a way. In fact, and I'm gonna finish my demo, you can, for example, use the get provisioning template, the get SPO provisioning template, or the apply SPO provisioning template CMDLeth, providing a new template provider extensions argument, which will allow you to provide a custom object which will do any custom extension tasks against the provisioning engine, as I said, before or after storing the template onto the file system, or after loading the template from the repository. There are many, many other new capabilities we introduced, but I just have 10 minutes for you. So I will stop now my demo, and I will give the stage to Rari, if I'm not mistaken, who is the one following me with another interesting demo. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Paolo. And like mentioned in the IAM discussions, we will release a blog post in the dev.office.com/blogs tomorrow, which will then show some of these capabilities, what the BMP engine is all about. And that should go live tomorrow afternoon in European time zones, so early morning in the US time zones. But I think Ruddy is already starting to share, and let's do an update on the ASP.NET Core authentication and authorization layer.
Okay, guys, so hopefully the audio is pretty cool. I've just extracted some slides out of presentations that I've done, first explaining what are we trying to do here. So for SharePoint apps and the current or the legacy version of ASP.NET, whatever you want to call it, we had a good set of tools out of Visual Studio or tooling. We had a proper mechanism to build apps. When it comes to ASP.NET Core, there's first a huge change in the runtime, in the entire ASP.NET stack. There's lots of merging of technologies and so forth. So there currently isn't really a story of how would you build a SharePoint provider-hosted app on top of ASP.NET Core. Or there is no mechanism yet so far, and what I would like to show you is an initiative in order to provide that story. So why would you use ASP.NET Core in the first place? Well, first, because you want to get and reap all the benefits that ASP.NET Core offers as a platform on top of ASP.NET. You might want to move legacy ASP.NET solutions or apps, I should say, or add-ins, I should probably say, to ASP.NET Core because you want to move that stuff. In general, you just want to use it because your team is moving to ASP.NET Core or your application or product is moving to that platform. Just a side note there, we still do authentication through SharePoint add-ins. I know that you can do Azure AD apps and give them access to SharePoint and so on. That's fine. There is a proper programming and development model for that, but maybe you're not ready for it. You're not ready to change the way you do deployment. You still want to use the governance that your clients have in terms of developing SharePoint add-ins. So there's potential business case. Maybe it's one step early, but whenever the wave hits, we at least want to have a story. In the ASP.NET MVC 5 days or the legacy stuff, we had proper tooling, the Office development tools for Visual Studio. They're pretty rock and roll. They did their job perfectly. You get a proper project type. You get token helper CS classes, SharePoint context classes, which I'm sure you're all familiar of. And you really had a good publish and deploy experience out of Visual Studio. That was all well and set. It depended on this particular assembly, which is critical for what we're doing here. I'll refer back to that assembly in a while because it's probably the most significant thing that we're depending on. In regards to ASP.NET Core, now we're in RTM timeframe, at least for the actual runtime or the .NET Core runtime. The actual tooling from an ASP.NET perspective is still in preview mode. That's stepping us back, so we can't really progress a lot around there. As far as I know, and as far as I speak with VESA and Microsoft team, there's still no team in Microsoft, a native Microsoft team assigned to build SharePoint provider-hosted added tooling or framework for the entire community. So hopefully out of PNP, there's something that we can show you. There's a lot of changes to the actual ASP.NET Core web application template. It's not running on IIS or iExpress anymore. It's running on Kestrel. So that means that we have to handle SSL certificates in a different way. There is a big problem here that the Microsoft Identity Model Extensions library or set of classes of which SharePoint add-ins depends on. It's not moving forward. I've tried to speak to the teams responsible for that to get information. There's all indications that there's nothing moving forward for that. So yeah, hopefully that I could show you today. This particular library is already committed. It's been committed just before RTM was released. I'll tell you what the challenges for converting to RTM are at the moment. What do we actually want? We want developers to build ASP.NET Core apps and have a very easy to use plugin model to support SharePoint provider hosted add-in authentication. That's our main goal. So when designing this, really wanted to have the least amount of change for the development experience, although there will be a change. Naturally, we'll be rolling back to NuGet rather than creating a new project template, because most things in ASP.NET Core are based on NuGet packages. We're following the middleware design pattern, which was taken all the way from OWIN middleware, and ASP.NET Core is built based on principles around that. Let me just see if there's any questions. Okay, no, nothing interesting. We'll talk about compilation in a second, because it really matters on what target framework and runtime we want to compile against and support runtime on. We want to base it on native ASP.NET Auth Z or authorization. If you remember the ASP.NET MVC5 SharePoint add-in doesn't really use the authorized tag, it just uses code within the, it uses actually custom fields in order to do that in MVC, in order to handle authorization and to transfer logic back through that. So that's enough slides. All of this is explained in a really long blog post on my blog. I'm sure you'll find it. It's just right here. You can read it. So let's have a look at the, there's some background noise, by the way, but anyway, let's have a look at the sample that we have as part of PNP. There's essentially three. Vesa, can you read that noise if it's annoying?
Yeah, I'll try to do that.
It's music. It's actually not bad. It's like spa music. Someone's getting massaged and doing PNP. Anyway, so there's three projects in the solution. The first one is the SharePoint add-in for SharePoint project type in Visual Studio, which is actually asking me to log in. I'm not going to bother to do that at the time. This has nothing more than what it used to have previously. There is no way to create what I'm showing you through project templates, but I've just basically taken a project created with Visual Studio and got rid of everything else. So it's just got the manifest, the app config, or whatever else it needs for the SharePoint app package to essentially build. We have the starter web project, or as I refer to as the minimal ASP.NET Core web project that you need to get started and running. So you'll see our runtime is DNX 451 at the moment, so I'm still using RC1 bits. Here, one of the more interesting things is the dependency to this particular project, which is the other project in the solution, the Office Dev PMP Core Framework Authentication. The idea for this, it's currently referenced as a project within the solution. The idea for this has always been to release it as a NuGet package. We're waiting for development in tooling, in Visual Studio tooling for ASP.NET Core, plus some of the movement around the authentication and the claims OAuth token libraries that this thing depends on, which I'll talk to you about in a second. But hopefully one day, all you'll need to do is say, install package, you type in this thing, and you get SharePoint add-in authentication capability. Now, from a code perspective in the web, when the web project, we really wanted this to be as familiar as possible. There's a small amount of things that you need to do. The first thing in the startup CS file, or as in the old days it was the startup.auth file, one of the things we need to do is plug in the authentication middleware. It's currently using the use SharePoint authentication method. Still thinking about this name because we still need to distinguish between high trust authentication and ACS-based authentication. So still thinking about this thing. We're using an options class based on the ASP.NET Core middleware, so that defines what you can configure and how you configure it. There's some default settings that are being put in place, quite interesting, we'll talk about eventing in a second. So that's all you need to do and a few less things in order to have this authentication middleware in your ASP.NET Core pipeline. We also need cookies because we're depending on cookies in order to do session storage on the server. So when one user clicks between pages, we need to identify them so we don't re-authenticate them every time that they hit things. So that's why we need session and we need cookies in order to do this. One other thing that's a bit tricky is hosting the web server. The reason why that's tricky is because now in .NET Core, it's the application that decides how it should host itself through the Kestrel web server, and that's why we need to configure it to run on SSL so we can do SharePoint add-in authentication. So there is some low amount of setup that needs to be done. The moment the ASP.NET tooling comes out for Core, I'll be revising this in order to absolutely minimize the amount of code that you need in order to get started. From a code perspective, in a controller, notice this controller is not locked down for authorization, but it can be. This is the home controller, so in this case, I haven't locked it down, but you will find this particular code context through something that's called core provider. And if you look at the class where this is based on, it's based in the authentication library part of PNP. You will notice that library is not really part of the core. The reason why it's not part of the core is because we're mixing .NET versions here in dependencies. This one's compiling for DNX or NetFX Core, as it is in RTM. So that's the reason why this cannot just be plugged in into the native core library as part of Office Dev PNP. In future, we'll see what the true lifecycle of this code will be. At this stage, there's not enough capability or reasoning to move it in there. But anyway, this code is extremely familiar to you. We get the client context using the client context class. It's actually a rewritten class, so you will notice the typical SharePoint context token classes. They are rewritten to support native things that ASP.NET Core supports. For example, the way it extracts cookies, completely different. The way it handles the request pipelines, completely different. The HTTP request classes, and especially around session storage and the way it uses it in order to rehydrate the server-side authentication part of the token, so it identifies the two users. You can have a look at those classes. The options class is very simple, based on whatever settings we need in order to configure this. That's boring. Now, where all the exciting stuff happens is in this middleware definition. So it's currently called SharePoint Authentication Middleware. This is still just one class. I'm thinking about making it a base class and making two versions, one for server-side high trust and the other for authentication middleware. I think I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to run this. Maybe just show you the configuration before I run this. In app settings, we have the typical client ID and secret. That's the only configuration that I want people to do, and I don't even want to have, I don't want to have this code in there as well because it forces the developer to know how to extract the settings, but that's how ASP.NET people do it as well, so I'll just follow the pattern. One thing that's extremely important is the SSL certificate, but that's different in the way Kestrel does SSL coordination. So anyway, when we run this project with F5, basically the solution will kick off. We'll get our console on the left, which is showing us what's going on. On the right, my browser will open the home controller, which is allows unauthorized access. Basically, that's why I'm getting this unauthorized user in here. And the controller is not locked. But if you decide to lock down the controller with an authorized tag, I'm sorry, I can't do that. It will actually start accepting that. Now, if I go to the SharePoint site where that particular client ID and secret is registered, I'll just log on with that user. Jesus, stress. Quick. Now, I will be taken to the SharePoint site. I just want to use this in order to show that there's activity happening. I'll go to the app. So this is just a normal developer site. The app is deployed just normally. I'll click on this. The two components will do their middleware handshaking. There's lots of requests going. And here I've retrieved the name of the user because that's what my home controller does. There's another controller here, list controller, which will actually reach out, get all the lists through there. So in short, because I probably shouldn't waste more time looking through the code, we basically have an ASP.NET Core starter web project which has a dependency to the place where all the code is located, and it's doing authentication, doing all the token handshaking. You can always debug that, and wherever you need things like events being thrown whenever authentication succeeds, you can use this particular class to get information. So maybe you want to write details about the current user that's coming in from SharePoint. So basically you can reach it out from all of these objects. They're exposed, so you can basically manipulate that particular, you basically have a whole claims collection in there. So there it is. There's lots of next steps, including porting to RTM. There's reasons why, and the reason is purely ASP.NET tooling that we're waiting on in order to create a good, solid, stable story for developing add-ins with ASP.NET Core. I think that's for me. I took more than enough time, so...
Don't worry about it, Ronnie. And obviously, if there's questions, let's follow up those questions in Yammer or within the network.office.com, and we'll loop in Ruddy if Ruddy is not following on that stuff. We will go slightly long today, which is slightly unfortunate, but it always happens.
Sorry.
It was actually me taking too much time on the intro or the summary of the month. But let's move still to Patrick and have a look on the JavaScript core, where we're heading with that one. And for those who need to drop away from the call, since you might have some other commitments, have a look on the Channel 9 video section tomorrow. This video will be there shared within 24 hours. And I can see at
least. Can folks hear me?
Yep, all good.
I wanted to show a little something and give a quick update to where we're at with the JS Core, and we'll do a little bit more in-depth on this Thursday's weekly special interest group call. I'll dive into that a little more. So please do join that if you want to see a little bit more detail, but I'll go a little bit quick here. So the first thing I wanted to show you is I've set up a little project here. One of the questions we get is a lot of folks write console apps in C# using the CSON library, which is great. I've done a ton of that. But do we have something similar in Node? And so there's a lot of ways to do that, but just as a demo, I've knocked together a quick sort of Hello World console app, and then we're going to add in the JavaScript core functionality to it. But I'm using Gulp. I won't go too far into a lot of the details, like I said, for more details on Thursday. But using Gulp, I've built a couple of tasks. I've got essentially a run task that also builds my code. So I can do a Gulp run. This would be, you know, similar to starting your console app in Visual Studio. And you can see I get my Hello World message back out. So if we look at the main, there's my Hello World. So that's neat. Somebody is a little bit off. If somebody wants to look at that.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of background noise. Let's see if we can.
So the next thing I want to do is add in my import PNP from the sppnp.js library. So I've done all this using the npm install sppnp.js. It's got that added. I've got my PNP object. And now I'd like to make some requests directly out of Node. So this is one of the new features we added in 103. And in that release, we added it sort of selfishly so that we could do testing, so we could write tests that actually interact with SharePoint. But we've also exposed it so you can use it in your projects or, for example, here in this console app kind of scenario. So what I've done is pasted in this setup command, and I'm just going to run it while I talk. I've pasted in the setup command, given it a client ID, a secret, and a URL, just like any other add-in. And then I've also said PNP, ASP, web, select, title, get, and then write. This write just does a console.log. It's nothing special. So what we're doing is using the Patterns and Practices library directly from Node to interact with SharePoint and get our results. So we're getting live data back from a site from Node. So I'm able to do some really cool stuff. And this is actually how I've started doing my console app work. Because one, it helps me test the library. And two, it's a little bit quicker than spinning up Visual Studio and doing all those sorts of things. So to show you kind of a little bit of what we're doing, we've added caching support. So I won't show all of this. I'll just paste these in. But so using caching, so you can add that to your method chain. So you can say patterns and practices, select type, using caching, get. And I've done that three times. And it turns out because caching base URL, that's all three of these queries. The first time, all three of these will likely go out. But if, say, the first one were to come back before the third one goes out, it would get hit by the cache. You can supply your own key, supply your own timeout on a per-call basis. There's a configuration object you can supply in here. For example, there's an expiration, and there's the key. So you can supply your own data, sort of that. Or you can just accept the default. You can also set global defaults, again, using the setup, the cache. Another piece I wanted to show everybody is we've added simple support for batching. So in the same way that you just do caching and add that to your method chain, you can do batching. So you create a batch, and you would actually pass your batch in. And you can see I've forgotten it here because I wanted to show you where you add it is immediately before the action. I want to do in batch, I want to get the stuff. This would also work for updates. This you can batch updates, you can batch deletes, you can batch all those things. And then you would call batch execute, and it would run all of those things in a single batch. The other nice thing is these are actually composable. So you can in a batch using caching or using caching in a batch. So the order there doesn't matter, but both of these should be chained immediately before the get. So you've got the capability, you can cache batch requests, and that's all handled for you by the library. So if any of you have done this, you know there's hundreds of lines of code kind of supporting these two methods, but now you get that use just directly in the library. And so that really feeds into our goal of making the REST development a lot easier and simpler for folks to do. And Face has mentioned this is already works with the SharePoint framework, so you can npm install this library into the SharePoint framework and use it directly in the upcoming web parts for your development to really simplify things, help folks not have to spend so much time getting in and trying to figure out URLs. Like I said, we've gone a little bit long. If you'd like, I'm going to do this in a lot more detail on Thursday. So please join the call. I believe I saw the link pasted in here. And then I'll stick around for just a couple minutes if there are questions on any stuff. So thanks, all.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Patrick, for that one. I'm going to switch back on the slides, and we can go through the if there's any questions around what was demoed. I know that Paolo had to drop already. He is prioritizing his time for the family. I think that was the agreement, unless he's still hanging on the call. But I know that Roddy and Patrick are still in the call. Good. And Paolo is gone. Good. That was the plan. But anyway, if there's any additional questions, if there's any additional topics for JavaScript development side, please join on the Thursday's weekly call. That's a good way of actually getting more closely involved on that JavaScript core component development and understand where we're heading with that one. If you do have random questions around the BNP or SharePoint development in general or Office 365 development in general, even in a farm solution level, I'm pretty sure that I can answer on any question in the farm solutions as well, because I've worked with the farm solutions for 10 years. Well, not 10, but still. So we will have a bi-weekly office hours, and the first bi-weekly office hours is tomorrow. So that's a great opportunity for asking, having a more open discussion, or if you want to give feedback, or using audio or using Iron Window, we can have an open discussion tomorrow. And all of those gets recorded as well. And right now they are getting shared in Yammer, but then in the future they will be shared using the YouTube channel. But I don't see that many questions. We went over time slightly, typical 5 minutes. The recording will be available within 24 hours in the Channel 9 section. So you can share that with forward as well. And use the Yammer, use the Office 365 network, whatever channels we have for questions and support, and we're here to help. The BNP core team was on vacation time during the summer, so we haven't been super, super active, but we're back in business and looking forward to help you on getting started, for example, with SharePoint Framework. For the new office hours call is this one. So that's a good point. Thank you, Bill, for asking that. But that's it for this particular call. So thank you for joining, and hopefully seeing you in weekly calls, bi-weekly calls, or maybe once a month, up to your schedule and availability. And please do give us feedback. If you consider something is not useful for you, or we are rambling too much, or you need to have different kind of samples, tell us. We'll make it happen. But thank you. Let's close up the call, and let's be in touch. Thank you.